This program is a paid commercial announcement from Jacob Media Partners and does not reflect the views of WPHT or its management. Today's program is pre-recorded.
WPHT, WPHT, HD, WOGL, HD3, Philadelphia, a radio.com station. And now, live from the Malamut & Associates Law Studios. This is Style with Stevola. Style with Stevola Sanchez, Philly's superstar of design and the self-proclaimed creator of tomorrow's unique style. Style with Stevola and his friends from around the fashion globe. And now, one of Philadelphia's most iconic providers of everything style. Stevola Sanchez.
Hello, welcome to the show, Style with Stevola, and I'm your host, Stevola. Thank you for tuning in and allowing me and my guests to entertain you for the next hour. And I just want to say, you know, with everything that's going on in the world today, I just want to send love, happiness, and positive vibes to everyone out there. Please be safe. Take care of yourselves and each other. You know, we're all going through some craziness right now, but we will get through this. I am so excited for today's show. My guest today is not only an incredible human being, but also a beyond talented musician. Before I introduce my guest, I want to share my love for music. Music has touched my heart in so many ways. It's inspired me. It's giving me so many incredible memories. It's also helped me get through a lot of rough times. Music to me is power. Music is power. I love that quote. So all what I just mentioned is what inspired me to bring on my next guest, Daniel De Jesus. His music, it moves me, it inspires me, it teaches me, it guides me. An incredibly, incredibly talented singer-songwriter. And Daniel, welcome. Thank you for coming on the show. Welcome, welcome, welcome. How are you?
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. I'm doing good. Yeah, just enjoying good. The rainy day.
I know, right? Crazy. Yeah. So, hey, I wanted to, I want the listeners just to get to know you a little bit. You know, just, so give them a little backstory of you and your life.
Oh, okay. Well, again, thank you so much for having me. I'm a native Philadelphian. I've lived in Philadelphia all my life, and I feel that as I've gotten older and I've worked in the music business. Philadelphia has really changed as a city. It's a really phenomenal music city. Mm-hmm. And so I feel really fortunate to live in a city like Philadelphia. I don't have a family of musicians. I'm actually someone who just really loved all things like arts. Like I also paint and I also make visual art. And then when I was about 12 years old, I started learning how to play the cello. And I was going at the time to like a small private school in the middle of North Philadelphia. And I was taking cello lessons at school.
Let me just ask you, how did you get into that? Like what, out of all the instruments, like what intrigued you to pick up a cello?
I feel like, I think it sounds very cliche, but I think so, a lot of musicians will say that the instrument chooses them. I think the cello is really special because it's an instrument that's not convenient. It's a big instrument. I think it attracted me at first for reasons that I wasn't too clear about, but I had a teacher that played it, and it was one of those teachers that I thought was like a really great teacher. It was like sixth grade, and mm-hmm. she played the cello, and then I also had friends who played the violin and the viola, and I always wanted to play a musical instrument, and I begged my parents for years and years, like, can I play the flute? Okay, can I play the clarinet? And for whatever reason, when I asked for a cello, I think it was my father recalls that he said that he could afford it at the time, that it was doable. And I just remember the thrill of going to the music store and renting my first cello, and it just took off from there, you know.
That's amazing. What a great story.
It's a story that's I don't know. I feel like it's not romantic, and it's not super like dramatic, like as much as I'd like it to be, but I think it's true. I think the part that's interesting is, you know, like I couldn't get music lessons earlier, but for whatever reason at that moment, at that time, when I asked for the cello, it was like everything lined up and I got the cello, and I think I was so excited to have it. I played all the time. I was eager to learn. I wanted to learn as quickly as I could, and I practiced a lot. And I, you know, my mother had the opposite problem. Most parents have to remind their kids to practice. My mother had to ask me to stop practicing.
That's good.
She's like, I can't listen to that song anymore. Like, can you please, like, yeah, so.
So sweet. Yeah, that was like me. Know. Like, my mother would put, like, a sketch pad in front of me just to calm me down, because I was a crazy kid and I was all over the place, and she was like, it's the only thing that actually will get you to sit in one place for a while.
That's awesome. Yeah, it's really great. You know, the thing is, creative people, we have a tendency, I think, to just really get lost in our mediums. And I, for me, like, you know, I know for you, like, drawing and sketching was yours. For me, yeah, it was cello playing. It was really, I don't know, I would just like get lost in it. And I feel like classical music can seem very stuffy for some people, but I loved it. And I really felt like classical music told me stories, and I visualized things, and, you know, I think that was just the kind of brain that I have.
Yeah, I mean, like I said at the beginning, it's, you know, at the opening part of the show, like music just moves you, it moves people, it moves me, you know what I mean? And it brings out so many incredible emotions when you hear something that you just connect to, and it's so powerful. And the way that you play the cello is outstanding. I mean, I've never, ever in my life heard anybody play like you do. I mean, you're incredible.
Oh, thanks. Yeah.
So do you play other instruments, or is that like the kind of the main focus is the cello?
Yeah, I am primarily a cellist who sings. Yep. Singing cellist is sometimes how I introduce myself. But I do play the violin, and I play a lot of it in my records. And I also have a viola that I enjoy playing. I don't get to play it as much, unfortunately. And I did try to learn how to play the guitar. I know a couple of things, but that's really, I'm very much like a strings person. I everything I play is very much bowed instruments, and I can't wait to get a viol da gamba. That's like an early European instrument. Like, that's a goal of mine, is to learn how to play one of those.
Oh my God, amazing. Well, I just for us to get a little history lesson, we have to take a break, but I wanted to kind of go into some detail, just a little bit of the background of that instrument, the cello. And maybe we can talk a little bit about that when we come back from the break. So please stay tuned. We will be back with more Style Stivala and Daniel De Jesus.
In a state of solitude, alone am I. In a state of solitude, alone am I.
Now back to Style with Stivala.
Plastic is the fabric, the ruffle of the day. Reminds me of the feeling you get when you're lonely.
Welcome back to Style with Stivala. You are listening to WPHT 1210 AM. It's me, Stivala, and I have an incredible guest, Daniel DeJesus. Daniel DeJesus, an amazing, amazing friend and singer-songwriter. Musician. So Daniel, we were talking about, before we went to the break, we were like just talking about the instrument itself, where we were going to. I want to kind of go into detail about that, because I don't really know much about the cello. So give us a lesson.
Well, kind of ashamed to say I don't think I know too much about it, but I do know, well, the cello was part of the violin family.
Uh-huh.
And the cello was, I mean, the earliest cello I think that we know about was made in like the 1530s. And that's like, you know, 16th century Italian instrument. I mean, mm-hmm. the engineering of the violin is incredible. Is, you know, Stradivarius is the luthier that many people know by name, but there were definitely others. Earlier bowed instruments included a series of instruments called gambas, which were much thicker and were had more strings and had frets on it. The violin as an invention, I think we, from what I know, it starts with, you know, instruments by a maker named Amati. Mm-hmm. And then Amati had two very famous students who really materialized the instruments as we know them today, and that was Guarneri and Stradivarius. And the cello, yeah, it's
wow. Well, for someone who said they don't know much about it, that's a pretty incredible lesson. Thank you.
No worries. You have to stop me. I think I just ramble on.
No. It was great. I mean, he said that you were a little ashamed but you know so much, I think. And I mean, that was helpful to me. I learned something. So thank you for that. That was awesome.
Absolutely.
Let's just bounce back just a little bit, because I know, you know, you got into music through school, right? And you know, you found the cello, or the cello found you, as you said. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, as you're playing and practicing, I mean, was there a mentor or someone who kind of helped you, like, or guided you, or was it just you found it and you went for it? Like, share with us, you know, a little bit about that.
Well, yeah, I mean, I had a really great, I had a sixth grade teacher that I admired named Miss Lindy, and she played the cello, and I thought she was like the coolest teacher. And then I later had an amazing instructor who was really great, Mr. Henderson, and it was only about a year later that Mr. Henderson actually passed away, and it was quite tragic. But then it led me to another teacher. Her name is Vivian Barton, mm-hmm. and she actually she lives here in Philadelphia, and she's an amazing cellist, and she has this really percussive way of playing, and she was like my teacher for like 12 years. And I know everything I know because of her. And yeah, like she was really my biggest mentor. But I think that it wasn't until I saw a documentary about the cellist Jacqueline Dupré, who was a British musician who was known for her amazing talent around like the 70s. She died of multiple sclerosis, and her talent was like ripped away from her, and her story and her playing, after I watched that documentary, I was like, I want to be a cellist. Like, I saw that, and like I liked playing the instrument, but when I saw that, I'm like, no, I really want to do this. Like, I really want to be a cello player. Like, it just really hit me. Her story and her playing were just so had such a huge impact on me.
That's amazing. What is the documentary? Because one, we got to shout it out, but two, I am definitely watching it tonight.
Well, there's a film about her and her sister called Hillary and Jackie, and there's other pieces as well, but the one I saw was a BBC documentary, and I think it's just called Jacqueline Dupré.
Okay.
And her recordings, you can find them on Spotify and other places, but yeah, like her amazing. Her playing, her I the way that I play, mm-hmm. I try to emulate as much as I can, like her way of playing.
Is it like a special technique, or?
Well, it's just really it's her vibrato and her bowing. I just think it's so powerful and strong, and it's not ashamed of being rough sometimes. Mm-hmm. And I really feel like there's a lot of variation in tone. So there's moments where she's very strong and has a big sound, but then she can also be very quiet and sweet and the most beautiful lyrical sound I've ever heard any cellist create, because when she plays, I forget it's a cello. I mm-hmm. really do. And I think that's really what makes a musician, is when you lose the whole technical part and you're just listening to the music. And I don't think I've heard too many musicians do that for me.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, for me, she's very special. She's my Beyonce.
I love it. I love it. But honestly, your music does that to me. It's like you completely get, like, you know, you're in a trance when you're playing. When we saw you in concert, it was mind blowing. It was so incredible and so moving.
Thank you.
It was great. I mean, and also there was like a theatrical element to it. You know, so I want to get into kind of like segue into the music, because I mean, the music you compose, but you also write songs and perform them. So you're kind of like one man show.
Sometimes, yeah. Sometimes I get to also play with other folks, but I tend to be that person that's a little I approach. So like I'm classically trained, and I definitely approach pop music with a classical lens, and I tend to write out everybody's parts, and I'm like, this is what you will play. And rather than, you know, like in a band, people make their own parts. But also the musicians I work with, like Cortland Carr, mm-hmm. Stephen Lorick, Selena Velez, these are the folks I've been working with recently. They definitely contribute their own flavor, and they do their own thing, and they just really help me with my, you know, with the shows, at least the live shows. But yeah, for the most part, I write everything, I produce everything myself, and it's very much like you know, like a painter. You're just like playing with colors, and all of the instruments are the sounds. Like they're the colors that I paint with, and I get to like make something.
Amazing. So so you just released two albums, correct?
Yeah, I released two albums July 6th.
And congratulations, that's exciting.
Thank you. Yeah, it's really great. I wasn't sure if I was going to be able to release anything, but it worked out. And I think I put them both out because they're both acoustic albums. For a while now, I've been doing a lot of things that mixes strings with electronics and my singing, so it sounds... It sounds so much more, you know, like more oriented to pop music and electronic music. And
yeah.
I perform a lot by myself, and mm-hmm. I'll do like small concerts and some even larger venues. But I'll play alone, and I realized I didn't have any recordings of that of what that sounds like.
Uh-huh.
And So that's an album that's called Un Culto de Uno, A Cult mm-hmm. of One.
And A Cult of One, okay.
Mm-hmm, and that's one album. It's basically kind of like an overview of my work. If like a greatest, it's not a greatest hits record, but it's a collection of things. It's a collection of songs that I've done, that I've written for myself, and I've written for shows that I've been in, and I collaborate with other artists, and I've written things specifically for them, like theater folks, like the Bearded Ladies Cabaret, and mm-hmm. Performance artist David Antonio Cruz, and then I included my originals for my albums, and so I think it's sort of like a folio kind of my songs, but just me, like by myself, and that's why I called it a Cult of One.
Oh, so that's what inspired the title.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah. And the other one is called Both Sides A. And uh-huh. thinking, I've always wanted to do a covers record, but I wanted it to be meaningful. I didn't want to just play covers. But I really thought about the fact that I'm someone who's really inspired by a lot of artists, but the artists that I'm inspired by tends to be women. Mm-hmm. And I think it's because there's something really powerful about the woman's voice.
Yeah.
And I feel like there's a kind of singing that women are not afraid of doing. And I feel like there's also a kind of, and I don't know, like artists like Tori Amos, artists like Björk, especially Joni Mitchell, Kate Bush. These are the artists that have really informed me of how to write music.
Well, hold that thought, Daniel, because we do have to go to a break. But I love where this is going. So we are going to continue the conversation when we come back after these words. Stay tuned.
All right.
Once again, Stevela Sanchez.
In my beautiful bird house, I make a soft bed out of...
Welcome back to Style with Stevela. You are listening to me, Stevela, and my amazing guest, Daniel DeJesus. Hey, Daniel.
Hello.
Okay, so we were just talking about your albums. Mm-hmm. Just give a quick recap, just in case anyone is just tuning in, of the first album, and then let's go into the second. But just to kind of recap the first really quickly.
Yeah, I was talking about a covers album I recently put out. It's called mm-hmm. Both Sides A, and it's paying homage to the women songwriters that have really influenced my work. And the other one is called Un Culto de Uno, A Cult of One. And mm-hmm. it's renditions of my work, but just the cello and me singing. So it's just like this kind of like the power of one, like just the sound of me and me and the cello.
Which I love it.
I enjoyed it so much. And it was like, you know, that kind of energy to play live and to record live, like the songs have a completely different energy. They sound different. And I feel like there's, and I never recorded that before. And I realized that I think it would be a good idea to do that. Cause, they just,
so it's a live album.
Yeah. So they're not, it's
That's
not usually,
wonderful.
I've loved live albums. I love listening to them. And, but making them really scare me because I'm so like that one take and that's it. Like that, this is like the whole take. Like there's nothing, you can't like dub anything. You can't like go in and like change stuff. You can add sound effects, which I do in this record, like a little bit of extra reverb maybe. But that's about it. So it, what you're hearing is one entire take from beginning to end, which is, you know, old school and the best, in my opinion.
I love that. Now for this, a Cult of One, correct? Mm-hmm. That's the title of them. So for this album, I mean, I don't know if this is a strange question, but do you have, do you have any favorites on the album?
Well, I definitely...
Or are they all favorites?
Well, they are all favorites, but there's definitely some songs that I really enjoy playing, or... I think there's some songs that you play them and you practice them, and sometimes it's like something moves you, or mm-hmm. or if you feel like this energy that comes through you and you're just like woof, like it just really encourages a kind of playing that I really enjoy. So like for example, I have a song in here called Unicorn, but I really enjoyed
playing
that.
You wrote that for me. No, I'm just kidding.
I wish I did. I'll have to write a song for you.
Oh my God, you're so sweet.
It'll have to be called Unicorn. It's like double, like it'll be called Double Rainbow or something.
Yes. Okay. I love it. But so what inspired you to write the song?
Yeah. So Unicorn was a song inspired by a breakup. I was dating someone who, they were my unicorn, and I'm also really obsessed with that film, The Last Unicorn, and the novel, and mm-hmm. it was sort of like a play on that, and it was like my breakup song. But it was fun to write it after, you know, I didn't feel bad anymore about it, everything's fine, mm-hmm. but it was just like fun, or it was interesting to sort of reflect on those feelings or that emotion, and to put that together in that way. And so whenever I play it, it's like, you know, my angsty song. It's like, my energy, angsty, my Alanis Morissette moment.
So what is it? So when you wrote it, like what kind of emotions does the song make you feel? Are you angry?
I don't think there's like anger so much mm-hmm. as there is sort of like I think I just feel more like angst, and I think it's just also high energy, and I feel very bold when I sing it, because there's a very difficult falsetto part, uh-huh. and every time I sing it, I really have to warp my mouth just to get the right sound out. So sometimes I have to fold my lips to the side just to get some of the tones out. Then the falsetto doesn't fall flat. It's just a technical thing that I end up doing.
Yeah, because I mean, you can belt some pretty incredible notes.
Oh, thanks.
I mean, you're an incredible singer, and I mean, honestly, I people out there, please, 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 you know, this music is so moving. It's really, really incredible. There's one of my favorites that I want you to just to do a little background of, but it's and we're going to play it for the listeners, for everybody out there, the entire song, which is really exciting. It's called Divine Rapture.
Mm-hmm.
Just tell us about that song and what it meant to you and what inspired you to write it.
Well, I was watching because I'm an art history nerd, I was watching Simon Schama's Power of Art.
I love it, yeah.
And I learned about Bernini, and in that episode, they talk about the ecstasy of St. Teresa, and the story of St. Teresa fascinated me, and then I looked it up, and because I have a little bit of an obsessive behavior, I was so inspired by the story, and then I read the book that she wrote called The Life, and then I read a biography, and I wrote an album about her. And Divine Rapture is really a song about this mystic who we call Teresa of Avila, and mm-hmm. the raptures that she describes in her book, because in it she doesn't really make a distinction between her soul or her body, and so it sounds sometimes very sensual.
Uh-huh.
And in it, there's a part where, based on Bernini's sculpture, it's the scene in which she describes how this angel with a golden arrow pierced her heart. And as you read it, you start to think to yourself, oh my goodness, this is scandalous for a nun. You know, you would never imagine.
A scandalo.
I know, it is. It's very much that. But it's so beautiful. And I think if you're able to get past it, it's just really inspiring. And I think what it did for me is I connected my own creative process and my own like inner energy with that song. And I think I just really took to this whole concept of mysticism and this whole practice mm-hmm. of mysticism. And it felt like something that I experienced on a different level. And I think that's what inspired me to write this song.
Amazing. So we're going to continue, but, you know, we have a treat for everyone. We are going to play the song Divine Rapture. It is incredible, by Daniel De Jesus. So please listen.
Oh, of his hands. This line pierces me, excites all the senses, stimulates the very core of my being. This divine rapture, the greatest love. This divine rapture. With the greatest love, the greatest love, oh, the greatest. Oh,
so I hope you enjoyed that incredible song, Divine Rapture by Daniel De Jesus. And we will be back to speak more with Daniel after these words.
This is Style with Stevola. Style with Stevola.
Welcome back to Style with Stevola. I am here with the incredible Daniel De Jesus. You just listened to one of his incredible songs, Divine Rapture. If you missed it, shame on you. No, I'm just kidding. if you missed it, you actually can go on to radio.com, download the app, search Style with Stevola, and you can listen to this entire incredible interview and all the ones before this one. So check it out and enjoy. But I'm here with Daniel.
Hello.
Welcome back, Daniel. Hello, hello. Okay,
thanks.
So when we just when we took the break, I mean that song, I mean it, amazing. I mean, I can't tell you how incredible that song is, but I mean, and you have so many more. Just share some more details. I mean, we talked about Divine Rapture, but are there any other like standout songs that just like really like just pulled some like incredible emotion from you when you composed it or wrote it?
Yeah, one of the things I have on this album are two songs that I've never released before, and one, they're both from the words of Federico Garcia Lorca, the mm-hmm. writer, and he wrote these sonnets to his lover, and it was a same-sex partner that he had, and I was working with David Antonio Cruz, who did an entire piece based on these sonnets. And David Antonio Cruz is an artist who and a friend of mine, and we collaborate often together. And I took several of these sonnets and I put the words to music. One is called Noche de Amor Insomne, or a night of an insomniac's love. A night of insomnia. I'm not sure how to directly translate that, or as far as like the meaning,
uh-huh.
but in a night of love and insomnia, I'll stop trying to translate. But anyway,
no.
I will.
It's okay.
I will just say that the song itself, when I wrote it, I was really thinking a lot about like bass lines from bolero music, and I was thinking of like the kind of movement and this pacing and like this kind of slow tango or slow waltz, because he's a writer from Spain. And
mm-hmm.
When I was reading the words and reading his translations in my book, it was just really this like deep longing for this kind of like acceptance. It's almost like a forbidden love, and like something that I think he's aware that will never come to fruition, because it's, you know, he's a gay man in the 30s, and everything that he's writing is in deep secret, and
mm-hmm.
these poems didn't even come out until the 80s. That's when they were first published for, like, an English-speaking audience. So...
Wow.
Yeah, and so writing that music and then singing it, I really feel like I tried to, like, enter that space. And so mm-hmm. it's super dramatic, and it's super, I feel like every time I do it, I feel like I have to, like, go into a space where I feel like I'm crying. Mm. And I try to think of, like, the most tragic thing, and it's melancholy, but it's also really a gut-wrenching, and so that's the kind of thing that I try to, you know, tap into, especially with his work, because that's what I think it does for a lot of people.
Wow, that's really beautiful, Daniel. That's really beautiful. Mm-hmm. So... Let's just, where can people find your music, and how can they get their hands on it and enjoy your gift?
Thanks. I'm on streaming platforms. You can look me up, Daniel De Jesus, and my last name is spelled D-E space, capital J-E-S-U-S. Looks like DeJesus.
DeJesus.
Yeah. Everybody always makes that joke from this film. I think it's called some kind of... Anyway.
Say it.
I can't recall the Big Lebowski.
Okay.
So it's... So that's how you can remember it, if that helps.
Yeah.
And you can find my catalog there. And Bandcamp.com is a really great website, because on Bandcamp, I get most of the money. When you support, you know, local artists through that website, it's really good. And my website is celloeye.com, CelloeYe.com.
Amazing. Now, do you have, I know, because with social distancing and all the craziness that's happening right now in the world, but... Do you perform live, obviously, and I was blessed to be able to actually see you in action, which was so incredible. You know, do you have anything coming up in the future?
Yeah, on July the 16th, I think I'm at 4 p.m. I will be on Instagram Live with the Barnes Foundation.
They're doing
a thing called Barnes Roll Call. And also on YouTube, I have lots and lots of videos where people can see me play. You can just look at my name, or if you do CelloEye, CelloEye, mm-hmm. you'll find my content. And mm-hmm. I have lots of videos of live shows, and I'm also doing stuff on Facebook. And there's quite a few things that's already online of me performing live during and before the stay-at-home order.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
That's exciting. So, okay, then, so those are, that's where they can find your music, mm-hmm. and it's available for purchase, right? Mm-hmm. And download, blah, 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 all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And is there any other outlets where they can see your work, or any, just so we don't forget, I want to make sure we don't forget anything.
Yeah, my website, it is a really great place to start, CelloEye.com, mm-hmm. CelloeYe.com. I have everything there. It's a really good resource if you want to find my stuff. It's have videos. I have my paintings on there. My music is available to listen to on there. And
right. Sorry to cut you off, but we're like almost out of time. But you also are an artist. Mm-hmm. an incredible artist, and you did the actual artwork for your latest album, correct?
Yeah, I do all the artwork. If it's a photograph, I most likely did it myself. I have a visual arts background. I went to school for illustration, and I teach art. I work with high school students. That's my day gig, and I really love painting mostly. I've also been doing some printmaking, but I'm mostly a painter.
See, and you're incredible, and you also give back. I love it. It's so sad, but we're out of time. The show is coming to an end. But Daniel, I just really, really want to thank you for taking the time out.
Well, thank you, coming on to the show. It's been great talking with you, as always.
Yes, yes. And please, everyone out there, please check out his music. It's really, really incredible and moving. He's so talented. So please, please check it out. And, you know, we are coming up to a wrap. So I just wanted to say to everybody once again, please, please, please be safe. Please take care of yourself and each other. And we'll see you next week. Take care. Bye.
Thanks for listening to Style with Stevola, a Jacob Media production. If you're interested in learning more about the power of the radio hour, contact Joe Kraus at 267-261-3428. This program is a paid commercial announcement and does not reflect the views of WPHT or its management. Today's program has been pre-recorded.